One of the things that I love is when the scripture tells us who God is and what he's like. He's my favorite subject. And you know what? He inspired the scripture, the word of God, every bit of it. And so it is as though he's telling us himself what he's like and who he is. 2 Corinthians 1:4 tells us that he is the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. This is something that every believer needs to know. And I'm going to tell you, every lost person needs to know this, that there is a God who can comfort them in whatever they're going through. Because we face all kinds of difficulties and heartaches and illness and trouble. God is there for us, whatever it is. When we're anxious, we're afraid, he's there to comfort us. When you're hurting, when you lose your job, when you have a car wreck, when your house burns down, there's a God who can comfort you no matter what's going on. When you feel overwhelmed, you're all stressed out, when you're down, when you're depressed, there's a God who can comfort you. 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4, and I'm going to use the NIV some tonight. It's just a little simpler, but it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." First, he's the Father of compassion. He truly cares for us. He shows us his mercy day after day, faithfully. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 tells us that his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Something you can always count on. Every morning when you get up, his mercies are new today. Every morning, he is faithful to show his compassion to us day after day. Every day is just another day to get to experience his mercy. Verse 4, it says he comforts us in all our troubles, whatever the trouble might be. All kinds of trouble in life, right? Whatever the trouble might be, he's the source of comfort. He's the go-to. I tell you, a lot of people look to other people and other things, but we need to realize that he's the source of all comfort. And he wants to be close to us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to help us through the difficult times. He wants us to know that it's going to be all right. Some of you are wondering if it's going to be all right. The God of all comfort, he wants us to know it's going to be all right. You know, a parent wants to comfort their child when they're hurting or they're afraid or they're going through a difficult time. And the Lord wants to comfort his people. Jesus came to show us the Father, he said, and Jesus came to comfort us. In Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, this is a prophecy that the Lord Jesus stood up and read when he began his ministry. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." To comfort all who mourn. He was anointed to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to release those that are bound, and to comfort all who mourn. Jesus came as a man, God in the flesh. And the Bible tells us that he went through everything that we do. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But as our high priest, he knows how we feel. You see, sometimes we might feel like we're all alone, like God doesn't really understand what it's like. But here's the thing, he does know. He knows what it feels like to feel stress. He knows what it feels like to be troubled. Did you know there were times when Jesus was troubled? That's what the Bible says. He knows what it feels like to have sorrow. And he even knows what it feels like to cry. And he came to comfort those who mourn. He cares for those who are hurting. The Holy Spirit comforts us. In the King James Version, John 14 and 16 is, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now the New King James says helper, and the NIV says counselor. The Greek word here literally means one who comes alongside. That's our comforter, the Holy Spirit. He's there to counsel us, to comfort us, to help us during the difficult times in life. Whatever our present trouble is, he's there. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would abide with us forever. See, the Holy Spirit inside of the believer is there to speak to you lovingly and gently, to help us, to comfort us, to counsel us every step through the difficult times in life. In Acts 9:31, it says, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." Now, this was after a season of great persecution. Great persecution had happened. There were people that were being brothers and sisters in the Lord that were being dragged off to prison. There were even some who had been stoned to death. We know that Stephen was stoned to death. And then Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, he was converted, and the Lord, through the Holy Spirit comforted the church. And the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You see that right there at Acts 9:31. They walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. See, sometimes we go through a difficult season, and the Holy Spirit will comfort us and change what was a difficult season into a fruitful season. A difficult season, but then he changed it into a fruitful season. We read right there that it says, "And they were multiplied." And we just need to understand that, you see, this is our God. He is able to take what the enemy means for harm and turn it for good in some way. And yes, even the difficult times in our life, in your life, God can turn it into a season of fruitfulness. He can take that very issue in your life and use it to reach other people. Did you know that's what happened to this church, the church in Jerusalem? You see, they had just gotten complacent and comfortable. They didn't need to be comforted. They were comfortable until the persecution came. And then, you see, when that persecution came, the church began to spread out. They began to reach the rest of the world as Jesus had told them that they would. But see, if we just get bent out of shape and all upset and can't be comforted, and we act just like the world when we go through a difficult time, we don't reach anybody that way. Because they look at us and they say, "Well, your religion, your God, doesn't really change your life, doesn't really affect you. I mean, you go through stuff and it's just the same as when I go through stuff." They need to see that we have a God who comforts us. Not only that, they don't just need to see it. We need to tell them. We need to tell them so when they go through a difficult time, you see, most of them are. There's something. There's some kind of trouble in everybody's life. Our God comforts us in all our trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, and part of 4, it says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. I wanted to be sure and get that part because it doesn't matter how small they are. If it troubles you, God can comfort you. But here's the really amazing thing. It doesn't matter how big they are. He's a big God. And there's not anything that's too big for him to handle. Paul talks about the trouble that God brought him through beginning in verse 8 of that chapter. He says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. That sounds pretty bad. They said, great pressure. It was beyond our ability to bear. Have you ever just been overwhelmed like you just said, this is too much. I can't. That's where they were. He said, we despaired even of life. Wow. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. Wow. But the God of all comfort comforted him. You see, it's in those very times that we find that God will show up in our life and he'll let us know it's going to be all right. He's all powerful. There's none like him. He's Almighty God, and he desires to gather up his kids in his arms and comfort them. You know, we all go through difficult times, times that just push us to the limit and stretch us. Paul said in verse 8, 2 Corinthians 4:8, he says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. You see, we need to know this truth that whatever the tribulation, the trouble, the affliction, he'll comfort us. We need to learn to look to him to comfort us instead of acting like the world. He comforts the hurting, the sick, the broken, the downcast. I know some people get confused about this because they think that God will take away their trouble or their problem. Well, that's not what I'm sharing tonight. I'm not telling you that God will take away all your problems. Sometimes he doesn't take away our discomfort. He comforts us. Ours is a life of faith. And a whole lot of the Christian life is lived out in between I believe it and I see it. I'll just give you the big one. We all know. I believe in heaven. I believe I'm saved and I'm going to heaven someday. I believe it. I haven't seen it yet, but I believe it. And there's a whole lot of time between the I believe it and the I see it. And you know what? It's that way with a whole lot of little battles too. There's a time between the point where we believe the promise of God and we finally see it. And in that time, you see, there's a lot of uncomfortable times. He doesn't just take away all our discomfort, but he comforts us in the midst of it all. You know, as a parent, you can't always take away all discomfort that your child might go through. And sometimes it's just part of growing up. Now don't take that and run with it. I'm just saying there are some things, there are some difficulties and challenges and trouble in life that it's just part of growing up. And you can't, you know, these helicopter parents that try to protect their children from everything, the kids grow up and they're not even ready to deal with real life. Because mama's been fixing everything for them since they were one or none. You know what I'm saying? But we need to understand that, yes, God can do anything, but he doesn't always take away our problems and our discomfort, but he does comfort us. Sometimes we get complacent, like that church in Jerusalem. and we stop growing. We stop moving on. We stop getting to a new place in our faith. And it takes a little discomfort sometimes to get us to the place where we're ready for change. We're ready for growth. I'm just going to leave that there for a minute, because like it or not, that's the way it is. Sometimes we have to get uncomfortable before we're willing to really step into something new or maybe stop doing something. But here's the thing. No matter how uncomfortable we might be or what we're going through, we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and He wants to comfort us. I really believe that the church in America needs to turn back to God in humble prayer and seek the Lord with a whole heart. And we need to get back to the Word of God, a real love for the Word of God. Enough of this entertainment Christianity. And I'm not saying Christian entertainment is wrong, but there's too much of this where people just want to be entertained. And you know what? Sometimes it takes us getting a little uncomfortable and going through some difficult times for us to get to the place where we get serious with the things of God and we get on our knees. As I want to tell you, it is still true what He said in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, not if all the heathen, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I'll heal their land. And I'm just telling you, you see, yeah, sometimes we get a little uncomfortable. It's not all bad. Because God can take what was a difficult season and turn it into a fruitful season. But He comforts us, and He comforts us when we're fearful, when we're anxious, we're unsure about what's going to happen, we're worried or stressed. Listen to this from Isaiah 51, 12 and 13. He says, I, even I, am He who comforts you. That's pretty clear, isn't it? He tells you who He is. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die and of the Son of Man who will be made like grass? And you forget the Lord, your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor when he has prepared to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? So here's the thing. It doesn't matter if it's a man or an army or all of it, Satan's demons. They're no match for the God who stretched out the heavens. The one who comforts us. He's the Maker of heaven and earth. We should never fear anything else. He'll take care of us. And I'm told we are blessed when we're comforted by the Almighty. When you know that God has comforted you, you know it's going to be all right. In 2009, when Carmen was first diagnosed with breast cancer, there was a day, you know, those kinds of times you have all these anxious thoughts that come against you. And it can be oppressive. But there was a day when she came to me with tears in her eyes. And she had just gotten a fresh revelation of a simple truth. She said, my Father loves me. I'm going to be all right. My Father loves me. You see, that's the God of all comfort. That's what that was. He let her know it's going to be all right. Now, I want to tell you, a lot of the time, I think we just needlessly bear the stress and the weight, the anxiety of a situation because we don't go to our Father and let Him comfort us. See, when you're in a fight of faith, the greatest struggle is the fear and anxiety that comes against you. It's called a fight of faith. That's what the scripture calls it. It doesn't call it the cakewalk of faith. It's a fight. Listen, if you're a fighter, you need to understand this. Here's a real fight. Something that you got to learn to do as a Christian is the fight of faith. And you do that by standing on the promises we sang about them tonight. You look at the scriptures and you build your faith up with the word of God, because you will find comfort in the scripture, in those promises. Many years ago, when my kids were little, I pastored a small church. We would sing together as a family, and there was this one song we used to sing called "It's Gonna Be All Right," and it was real country, but I'm telling you, it was real good. One verse would tell about how the children of Israel, how God had brought them through the parted waters. It's gonna be all right. I mean, when it looks really bad, it's gonna be all right. And there was a verse about how David killed Goliath. It's gonna be all right. I got a feeling it's gonna be all right. And then Jesus is crucified on the cross, and then he rose from the dead. I got a feeling it's gonna be all right. You see, you start reading the Bible and you see all of the things that God did, and whatever you face, I got a feeling it's gonna be all right. But it's more than just a feeling. It's a conviction from the word of God that God will help us. He will bring us through. I'll tell you, the word of God will bring comfort to you. He wants us to not be afraid, but be comforted. 2 Corinthians 7, 5 through 7. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us. See, when we're downcast, so many in our society are downcast. We don't say that much anymore. We leave off the cast. We just say down. So many people are down. God wants to comfort them. One of the other terms we use now besides down is depressed. Sometimes you can see it in their face. You can hear it in their voice. And sometimes people just manage to hide it. But our Father always knows, and he wants to comfort. I really believe that he is the God of all comfort. He came to lift us out of depression, to comfort us. Isaiah 53 and 4 prophesies of Jesus, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." He bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows. You see, he wants to comfort us. In Isaiah 61, 1, Jesus said, or this is a prophecy of Jesus, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." He wants to comfort the brokenhearted. He's near to the brokenhearted. I remember when I had a broken heart, had it really bad. I was so depressed, so lost. I would drink every chance I got. They call it Southern comfort. It's a lie. It doesn't really comfort. It just makes your mind numb. And when the numb works off, when it fades, it's still got all the same stress, all the same hurt. But there was a time when I turned my life to the Lord. I'm gonna tell you the truth, the way it really is. He didn't heal my broken heart instantly. It happened over time. But what he did do was he comforted me. And there was a time when I was 17 years old, and I would go to bed and read my Bible a little bit, and then I would hold it when I went to sleep. It comforted me. Nowadays, people get their phone and take it to bed. That ain't gonna help you sleep. That's gonna keep you awake. Get your Bible. Well, I look at my Bible, I look at the Bible on the phone. Yeah, and you end up looking at Facebook and all kinds of junk. get your Bible. Sorry, I'm old school. When you're hurting, he cares. And he's there to help you feel better. He knows how to comfort you. Psalm 34:18, I gave you this, but this is the verse. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Now, sooner or later, everybody in this life has some times where we have a broken heart, whether it's a failed relationship or a dream lost or the loss of a loved one. We all go through those things. And we talked about this in Psalm 23 we've been looking at on Sunday morning. But when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, did you remember this? I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. He's with us in the worst times. He's with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He'll guide us through those times if we'll just allow him. He'll comfort us even through the worst of times. But I want to give you a couple of things here at the end of this message. To receive comfort, we have to trust him. You know, so often in the scripture, it comes down to this, that we truly believe, that we truly trust him. And that's the key here. If you're going to be comforted, if you're going to receive the Father's comfort, you're going to have to trust him. Sometimes we just think, oh, I tough it out on my own. I can take it. I'll make it. That's pride. You need to trust your Father. He wants us to trust him. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. Now, we read this, but I want you to see this. We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, but we were burdened beyond measure above strength so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we felt or had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. It said, we felt the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. I say it often, it needs to be. This world is all mixed up. And they say this garbage about believing yourself. Trust yourself. Trust God. He'll comfort you. He'll take care of you. He'll get you through. Little boy, and some of the, you know, for us men, this is, can be a really difficult thing, you know, because our, that male ego, another word for that's male pride, that male ego gets in the way. Well, just remember this, the little three-year-old boy is the same way. You know, he doesn't want his friends to see his mommy take care of him when he falls down. He wants to act all tough. Just saying. Don't act like a three-year-old. Let your heavenly Father comfort you. Amen. He wants to help you. By the way, remember the Apostle Paul, a man who was stoned, who was beaten with rods, who was whipped with a cat of nine tails, who went through all kinds of persecution and great challenges and difficulties, he was comforted by his heavenly Father. Next, to receive comfort, we need to comfort one another. And I want to say this very clearly. You see, we don't just look to other people to meet our needs. He's the God of all comfort. He's the source of comfort. But understand this, that a lot of the time, God uses people. In fact, most of the time, God uses people. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. Comfort each other. It tells us to do this. Comfort each other. You know somebody that's going through a trouble, a heartache, a problem, a difficulty? Comfort them. Let them know it's going to be all right. Encourage them. Second Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. We read this earlier, but listen. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. You see, we've received comfort, then we need to share that with others. We need to comfort other people. It's one of the ways that God turns our difficult season into a fruitful season, because the God that comforted us during that time, we can tell others, He'll comfort you. He'll get you through. It's going to be all right. Verse 10, he says, He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we've set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as You help us by Your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. One of the ways that you can comfort other people is tell them that you're praying for them. You let them know that you're right there with them, praying for them, and they're not alone. Sometimes you're supposed to tell people, I'm praying for you. Pray for one another. And sometimes we comfort one another just by being there in person. I don't know if it was a true story, if it was the first person that ever said this, but I heard a minister one time, a lady minister, talking about how that her little boy was having trouble going to sleep or something, and she was telling him, oh, you just need to, you know, go back to bed. Jesus will be there with you. And the little boy said, I need Jesus with skin on. We're the body of Christ. Jesus with skin on. And sometimes, you know, to comfort others, We just need to be there. 2 Corinthians 7, 6 and 7. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. So there's two things we see here. Number one is Titus actually came. He was comforted because Titus came. Somebody else can be comforted just because you showed up. And the other thing here is that Titus let Paul know there's a whole lot of people concerned about you. They're praying. They're there. And Paul says it brought, my joy was greater than ever. You see, God can use us to comfort each other. So when you know somebody else is going through it, you step in, you comfort them however you can. Amen. But this is how it's supposed to be, that our Heavenly Father, He comforts us. We don't have to face life. We don't have to just tough it out. We don't have to be all stressed and anxious and beat down like the world. We have a God who loves us, and He wants to comfort us. Stand with me. And as we go to the Lord in prayer tonight, I just want to encourage you tonight, whatever you're going through, let the Father of compassion, let Him comfort you.